Welcome, everybody. Good morning to the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. This May 11th at 8 a.m. And on the agenda is item number one, Pledge of Allegiance. So, staff, can you tee that up for us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great, thanks. Great, thank you. We'll go to item number two, roll call of the board of directors. Vanessa, can you please conduct that roll?
Director Fellow?
Present.
Director Fellow?
Present.
Director Trevino is absent. Director Garcia?
Here.
Vice President Santana?
Present.
President Chavez?
President Chavez is here. So we'll go to item number three, the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
So moved.
Second.
It moved by Garcia, seconded by Fellows. No questions. Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. We'll go to item number five, committee reports. And we have one in our packet. So we'll go to 5A. Would Chairman Fellow, do you wish to add anything to your report, or we'll accept it as presented? Okay, if there's no anything to add to the report, then we'll go to item number six, consent calendar. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. Second, Santana.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar. All those in favor. Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. So that passes on a 4-0 vote. We'll go to item number eight, which is informational items. Oh, I'm sorry, number seven. We'll go to number seven to adopt the emergency water conservation program. And there's a staff recommendation, but Tom, can you brief us on this item?
Yeah, certainly. And I'll ask Patty to help me with this as well. So we've been talking about this for several months. In fact, this board, your board, took early action, moved to level two all the way back in August of 2021. So we were proactive on it, moved to that level two, which is being recommended by Governor Newsom to all agencies in California right now. And then we've also, you know, it's interesting, had a conversation with a reporter yesterday, or Patty did, and Patty explained to him what we've been doing all along about water conservation. And the reporter made a comment, man, you're doing more than most people I talk to. And so that's encouraging. But it's a message that we have never stopped. You know, we didn't stop it after the last drought or the drought before that. So it's good that is resonating. But in this situation, we are accelerating and increasing our engagement on conservation. So as we look at what we need to do here in Upper District, and we're looking differently, you know, different agencies are looking at this differently. On the two paths that Metropolitan has laid out, the 1 day a week option, and you don't have to live within a volumetric limit, or you live within a volumetric limit and you can choose what level of mandatory water use restrictions you impose. In our case, and I'll compare us with the City of Los Angeles, LADWP. LADWP is one of the largest water retailers in the country, if not the largest retailer. So they have a direct line to every end customer. Upper District has 23 water retailers in our service area. And so it's a lot different for us to try and work with 23 versus LADWP can set a standard for all of their customers that they can impose and enforce. So that's another good reason. There's a lot of good reasons why we're recommending and that we take the second path of the volumetric limits. Number one, and the main reason is we can live within those volumetric limits with some good effort on conservation and taking some other actions. So yesterday I saw the LA Times report that Mayor Garcetti announced that they would be going to 2 days a week. That was a bit of a surprise to me because my dialogue with my colleague at LADWP seemed to indicate they were moving towards a 1 day a week. And I'm not sure, haven't had a conversation. I'm not sure why they decided to go to 2 days a week, but it's clear that they're going to try and live within that volumetric limit. So whereas one of Steve's clients, Las Virgenes, Dave Peterson, he really doesn't have a choice. They're going to 1 day a week. In fact, I think they had a town hall meeting last night, Steve. So, in fact, Dave Peterson and I and Shivaji from Inland Empire were interviewed on NPR on Monday. I believe I sent that link to the board. So, you know, this is a really dynamic situation. It's getting a ton of media attention. I was interviewed by KCAL last night, about this report that came out that the March water use in Southern California has gone up since 2020. And I explained that that is not a good measure of water conservation. But they didn't run that part of my interview. What they aired was okay. It was okay. But the news right now is, hey, Southern California is using 18%, 20% more water than they did in March of 2020. And I explained to the reporter, we don't measure it on you pick a month 1 year and compare it to the same month in another year. We measure this over a long-term period because you've got seasonal variability and variability in precipitation. And in fact, I pointed out to the reporter that in March of 2020, this base year they're comparing us to, we had twice as many days of rain as we did this last March. This last March was really dry with the exception of that one really intense storm we got at the end of the month. And so what that tells us, at least what I interpret from saying, you know, why was our use in March when it was rain, March of 2020 low? It's because our customers have listened to us and they didn't turn on their sprinklers or they turned off their sprinklers because it was raining. March of 2022 was extremely dry and, you know, they did have to use more water, outdoor water, to keep their plants alive. So, and when you look at the long term, our water use in the San Gabriel Valley and Upper District service area is down 30 to 40% from what it was just 10 or 15 years ago. So we're seeing that long-term decline. And in the last drought, our communities responded very well. That was the other question. How are you going to get these people to listen to you? How are you going to get them to respond? And I told the reporter, because they've done it before. When we have a call for conservation, they've responded. And so, you know, give credit to the community for that. I know I'm on a kind of a soapbox speech, but I've given a lot of thought to this. So when we get down to what action does the Upper District Board need to take and what are we recommending that you take is we want to adopt a firm resolution that outlines our approach. And so you've got the resolution in front of you. And it's to, number one, adopt an emergency water conservation program framework that aligns with Metropolitan Water's Metropolitan Water District's volumetric limit option. Two is in the event we do not plan to have any penalties for MET, but just so in the event that happens, the resolution does include that we have the ability to pass those penalties through, where appropriate to the customers. And in this case, the deliveries of state project water are 100% to Water Master. So in this case, we really have one customer and that's Water Master. And having said that, I just noticed Kelly Gardner's in the waiting room. So, third, we're asking our customers to reduce their water use by 20% That is consistent with the action this board took in August of 2021. We were looking for a 20% reduction in water use. We are asking and encouraging our local water suppliers to limit, and this is a correction, by the way, this is a correction in the resolution, to limit outdoor watering, not to a minimum of 2 days a week, to a maximum of 2 days a week. So we will change the word minimum in this resolution to maximum on section four. We are also asking our local water suppliers and city councils to assist the customers and constituents in implementing these conservation measures, and we have resources to help them do that. Also, to comply with the regulations, this is the Governor Newsom executive order imposed by the State Water Resources Control Board. So, no excessive, it's the standard stuff. No, don't hose down your driveway, no excessive runoff. You just shut off nozzle if you're washing your car and so forth. And we are expanding and accelerating our district-wide communications to support that 20% reduction. And so that's the actions that we are recommending the board take today, is to adopt this resolution, essentially codify Upper District's approach to this water supply crisis. So with that, I'll step off my soapbox and see if the directors have any questions.
I have a question, not really a question, a comment, Mr. President. Even at Aqua, I was talking to some other directors, and people are shocked at how much water, how much water we save with the storm drains and stuff, 97%, I guess it is. And the problem is that the LA Times, after all these years, has never picked that up. And and when they write, it's just generic that, Los Angeles, which they include the San Gabriel Valley, is still not saving water. So that message really has to get out. But we do a great job of messaging. I'm just wondering, I don't know how Patty would feel about this, if in the messaging we put, we've done a good job, or you've done a good job helping us save 40% of the water, but we have to ask for more, or something like that. But I think we've got to get this message out, because Upper District has done a fine job teaching young people and saving water. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other comments from directors?
I have a question. This is Director Santana.
Yes, go ahead, please.
So, Tom, this is going to be for our entire service area, right? Because maybe it's just me. But I know that the messaging is different for different areas. But this is for our entire service area. It's a 20%. Is there going to be a different message for different areas within our service area, or is it all the same? Are there different water retailers that are going to have a different approach?
That's a great question, because as you heard on the COG meeting yesterday, in Three Valleys, it's only two cities in Three Valleys that are under the one-day-a-week restriction. In our case, it is consistent. It's the same message and the same restrictions on all of our service area. So where Three Valleys, they have several cities who can shift to treated Colorado River water, and so they're no longer state project dependent. In our service area, we are working with some of our retailers to do that shift, but none of them can shift 100% off of groundwater. So everyone is still a state water project dependent area within our service area. So it's going to be consistent with every one of our cities.
Okay. That's good news.
Tom, can I pick up on what Jennifer just said? I spent an hour 2 weeks ago with Larry Spicer, the councilman in Monrovia. Wanted to ask him questions about, because Monrovia has a fine now if you're using more water, I guess, than you did last year. And do residents get confused? Like they're in the Upper District area, and they have the right to do that. But I even get confused. If I was living in Monrovia, what do I do? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and so that's the messaging challenge to roll this down from a regional messaging from metropolitan and to a Upper District message to our 18 cities but 23 water retailers. And each one of those water retailers is might handle this a little differently. You know, I'm really pleased that a lot of them are following, and some of them have gotten ahead of us, like Monrovia, and going to 2 day a week. And so this, in terms of individual water customers, what they are going to be required to do, our response is contact your, look at your water bill and call your water provider, call your water retailer, because that's the best way for them, the customer, to get most accurate information on what are they being asked to do. We can generally say we're asking for 20% conservation across our entire service area. But in terms of days a week and penalties, it has to come from the retailer's office.
Yeah.
Director Fellow, if I can add on that a little bit. So additionally, you know, we are making ourselves available as staff to our cities and our retailers. Jennifer will be hosting a conservation action roundtable this week, where we will be meeting with all the conservation coordinators of our retailers and cities, to offer them resources and to help them with messaging. And then also the communications, presentation that I gave at Government Affairs, that messaging platform will also be available to all of our cities and producers if they so choose to use those graphics and messaging for their customers.
Thank you. Can I, Mr. Chavez, you could cut me off and tell me it's, this is another topic, but Tom mentioned bringing Colorado River water in, which was very interesting because I think Three Valleys won some kind of innovative award. They had some video yesterday at Met. And Tom, I wanted to ask you, do we, if we bring in Colorado River water, do we do it through the same system as Three Valleys uses, or?
Yeah, so there's two ways we can bring Colorado River water into our system. The one we're working on with the Quagga Mussel Control Plan is to bring untreated Colorado River water to USG3 and put it into the river channel. And that's the most efficient way we can get large-scale deliveries to the groundwater basin. The second one, which we're working on, is we do have treated MET connections within our service area. And some of those connections are active and could be used, and some are not. For instance, Monrovia has a pretty large connection to the upper feeder. It has not been used for decades, and the pipes and plumbing are not in any condition. It takes quite a bit of effort to get that back into service. However, Suburban Water has an active connection. I believe it's USG 9. That they have used recently and do use typically a little bit every year. So we're talking to them about activating that connection, reducing pumping. But the challenge is their, most of their supply in that part of their service area is coming from the operable unit. And they have EPA quotas and requirements to run that operable unit for the groundwater cleanup. So we got, you know, this dilemma fighting each other. But Sir Reverend does have an opportunity in another part of their service area, and we're working on that. It could be 4,000 acre feet. They could shift to treated Colorado River supplies and reduce their groundwater pumping. Arcadia has also indicated they think they can do 1,000 or 1,500 acre feet. So we're working on those where those connections are actively used to get that shift to occur, and that will help us work our way through the situation. The problem with upper district is, well, I won't say the problem, it's upper district's problem. The challenge we have is that, you know, over the years, you know, for instance, one of the biggest producers in the basin, the San Gabriel Valley Water Company, does not have a MET connection. So over the past year, I've been working with Stetson to identify where could we put additional connections in our service area. And I'm talking to Metropolitan about this, where we could have a greater opportunity in this situation to shift onto Colorado River supplies. So it's something we're looking at, and it's one of those midterm solutions. When I talk about our short-term solution, number one is let's get this approval to bring Colorado River water to USG3, get the Quagga Mussel Plan approved. That's our best short-term solution. If we can't get that, we just got to manage with conservation throughout the remainder of this calendar year. Our midterm options include maybe some new met connections. When we have wet years, put more water in the ground, take that cyclic storage. Let's not store 100,000 acre feet. Let's store 300,000 acre feet in the ground if we get another wet year on the state water project. And then ultimately the long-term solution is the regional recycled water project. So that's the strategy is we look at the short term, this Colorado River supplies, there's two ways we can take it treated. We are limited on how much treated Colorado water we can move into our service area right now.
Tom, would it be advantageous with Monrovia to improve that system? Or I'm talking about going through Congresswoman Grace Napolitano. There's lots of money in Washington dealing with infrastructure. Would that be a benefit?
Yeah, they have been working on that. In fact, they've had Stetson do some work on what would it take to reactivate that connection. The one challenge that systems that have not used treated met water for a long, long time is the very slight chemistry changes in the water, the water. And part of it may have to do with the fact that Metropolitan disinfects with chloramines. It's chlorine mixed with ammonia, chloramine. And chloramine is used because it doesn't form as readily some of the disinfection byproducts that they're concerned about. Anyway, not to get into the whole chemistry thing, but when they do take that Colorado River water, it's not the Colorado River Water State Project water, because Director Santana asked me this question yesterday. It's the treated water. And if they've got rust and scale that has built up in their system, their pipelines, mm-hmm. You may remember a few years ago, Sierra Madre had a severe problem.
Yeah.
So they have to have, in order to prevent that from happening, they have to change the chemistry slightly when they take the met water. And that's not easy to do. And even the chemists don't really understand exactly the right way to do it. They can deal with it, but it's not an easy, there's a lot of adjustment. Anyway, not to get into the details. So that's a big concern. It creates a big concern, when you have not taken treated met water.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Fellow, thank you for bringing that item up. Tom and I were discussing the same item or issue on Friday about the Colorado River. I mean, we got to look for Plan B, Plan C during this drought. So pretty much everything's on the table. So thank you for sharing the same insights that we were thinking.
I want to tell you the GM, the general manager at MWD, I talked to him about this, and he's willing to do anything we can to help bring that, make that possible.
Excellent. Good to know. So with the presentation, is there any other questions to our general manager or to Patty on this topic?
Tom, I'd just add that. When the motion is made, if a motion is made to approve the resolution, that would be as amended with the Section 4 edit that you caught.
Thank you, Steve.
And I will make that motion. Well, I will make that motion with that correction and that correction. And the people of Arcadia will be very happy. Arcadia will be very happy.
Okay. So it's been moved, and I'll go ahead and second it as well. Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez? Chavez?
Aye. And that passes on a 4-0 vote. Thank you. We'll go to item number 8, information items. There are press release and news articles there. Hey. We'll go to the attorney's report. Steve, can you give us a report?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Most of our efforts in the past couple of weeks since the last meeting have been working with Tom and Patty on the resolution, the staff report, and the Met action. Also, we prepped another resolution for the AB 361 remote meetings that we had today. And I just wanted to kind of further follow up on Tom's report that, there's, of course, this action or this situation is prompting a lot of response and Tom mentioned that another one of our clients, Las Virgenes Water District, they're having a public workshop tonight. And as of yesterday, they had 1,300 attendees that were planning on coming. So it's going to be an interesting time. Evidently, they some of their staff tried to access a community, a gated community in the area to look for water wasters and, you know, who's doing what, and were refused entry by the guards from the Homeowners Association. So, you know, hopefully that's not indicative of how the rest of us are going to respond to this crisis. But we'll keep Tom apprised as this moves forward, because I think we're going to be seeing different reactions, you know, to different protocols. So, with that, I'll conclude my attorney's report and, of course, entertain any questions.
Thank you, Steve. And then we'll go to Steve Johnson for the engineer's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody. Fairly short report. As Tom covered the water supply situation pretty good. Some just basic, some of the local information. The Key Well measured on May 6th, just a couple of days ago, is up to 185. It's about 0.4 of a foot higher than it was just a week ago, which is good. Even better news, it's about almost 3 feet, 2.9 feet higher than it was just a month ago. And this is as a result of the storms that we had, some of the runoff we got into the canyon reservoirs. Working with the county, they held the water in the reservoirs. And then this last month, they've been releasing that water. Into Santa Fe spreading grounds and down the river, and some going to Committee and I. So we're not, you know, we're okay right now, but our projections are still that if it's as dry as it is and we don't have any help with some imported water supply, we could very well see, and no early rainfall, October, November, we could very well see historic lows in late fall, November, December timeframe, depending on the wet water year this year. A report on the deliveries of the water, and this is hot off the press. As of yesterday morning, we got the report that the county was releasing about 250 CFS out of Morris, with about 10% of that going into Santa Fe spreading ground. San Gabriel spreading grounds. Some going to Committee of Nine, but the bulk of it going down the river into Santa Fe spreading grounds. They've been doing that for some time now. As of yesterday morning, they completed the delivery and reduced the flow out of Morris down to just 25 CFS. And so we've gotten our delivery of that water. The numbers on the delivery we just got this morning from the county, about 28,000 acre feet was released from Morris Dam since March 8th. So that's quite a bit of water. With about 2,500 acre feet delivered to the San Gabriel spreading grounds up top, and the remaining 25,000, a little over 25,000 acre feet, either percolated into the river on the way down or was diverted right into Santa Fe. And that's why you see the 2.9 feet increase in the Key Well. The way things work, Tom and I were talking about this before the meeting started. When we put significant amounts of water into Santa Fe spreading grounds, it takes a week to 2 weeks, some around 10 days, to actually see a reaction at the Key Well, just because the water has to percolate through the ground, then it has to meld in with the other groundwaters, the groundwater that's down in the basin, and then you'll see a mounding effect in the Key Well. So what we're seeing is a mounding effect of that delivery. It's now been long enough that we've got good communication with the spreading grounds, good communication with the groundwater, and we see that rise. Likely as we go forward, not only will it spread out across the basin, so it'll be going down at the Key Well. In addition to that, if no more water is put in and we continue to pump, the entire basin will be going down. As I mentioned, potentially reaching historic lows late this fall. In the canyon right now, there's only about 18,000 acre feet in the canyon, with about 5,000-6,000 of that designated for Committee of Nine direct delivery. So we're basically sitting right now at minimum pool up in the canyon. Nothing really new there. Rainfall As we go farther into the year, we get no more rain. The long-term averages go down. At Puddingstone, we're down to 64% of long-term average rainfall. At Los Angeles, LA Civic Center, we're 84% of long-term average. And then for water quality, even though Charles is not on the call, he loves to have this report. During April of this year, 56 wells were sampled in the basin under Water Master's Title 22 program, sampling of wells. During March, 23 wells were sampled under the same program, and we did not receive, which is actually really good news. We kind of pass over this, but again, we did not receive any new notices of wells shut down due to water quality concerns. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions from directors on this report? If not, we'll go to item number 12, the Metropolitan Report. Mr. Fellow.
President Chavez, I've got a general manager report, I believe.
Yes, you do. Thank you for the correction.
Thank you.
Mr. Love, go ahead.
Thank you. And I think I've talked enough, but I have some things. So before the meeting started, the question was asked about the rainfall precipitation that was received in the Northern Sierras. It was a couple of weeks ago. They got maybe an inch in the last day or two. In April, they received about an additional 5 or 6 inches of rain on the 8-station index. And that has shown up in Oroville, which has come up about 300,000 acre feet. And so I think we're all hopeful that that might move the bar on the 5% allocation, but we understand it will not. And there's a couple of reasons for that. The primary reason is when DWR went down to 5% allocation, they actually were indicating it needed to be even lower than that. And I know Metropolitan and the other state water contractors lobbied them to not go below 5%. So they were, from DWR's perspective, they didn't even have enough water to allocate 5%. So what this 300,000 acre feet does is just kind of, you know, puts their minds at ease that they're going to be okay with a 5%. But there is some good news out of the 300,000 acre feet, will take it. But what that 300,000 acre feet in Oroville will allow them to do is run the Hyatt Thermalito power plant at Oroville Dam for the rest of the year. They had originally projected that may not be able to operate when the reservoir's levels get too low. And that's meaningful because that offsets the pumping cost on the state water project, which Metropolitan plays. So there's a financial advantage to having that extra water in Oroville. Last thing is just talking about the Upper District Board meeting calendar. The board adopted the meeting calendar, I believe it was last month. As staff plan, we plan 2 or 3 months ahead. It appears that in the month of June, we will only need to have one meeting, and that would likely occur on the first meeting of the month. The month of July, right now we're not showing a need for a meeting in July. We believe we can go dark, and there's another reason that would help staff out, is we do anticipate we will be in relocation mode in the month of July to the new building. And also in the month of August, from what we look at for action items the board needs to take, it looks like we can get away with one meeting in August. And again, that would also be on the first meeting date of that month. So just note, these are tentative right now. As always, some things can come up, but that's our approach. We plan to have one meeting in June, one meeting in August, and go dark in July. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions from directors? General manager's report? If not, we'll go to item number 12, the Metropolitan Report. And Dr. Fellow, it's all yours now.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to focus on two, maybe three issues today. And one deals with the MWD's ambitious climate action plan. And the Metropolitan Water Board on Tuesday voted to approve a set of strategies to cut its greenhouse gas emissions and achieve carbon neutrality by 2045. And the Climate Action Plan identifies actions to reduce Metropolitan's carbon footprint in the face of climate change, increasing the district's climate resiliency and energy independence while supporting California's GHG reduction goals. The strategies include phasing out natural gas combustion at the district facilities, transitioning to a zero emission vehicle fleet, utilizing carbon-free electricity, improving energy efficiency, increasing waste diversion to achieve zero waste, increasing water conservation and local supplies, and evaluating carbon capture and sequestration opportunities. Met has approved about $840 million in conservation and local resource programs, funded more than $350 million in turf removal program rebates, installed solar facilities, as Joseph Jensen, Robert A. Skinner, and Frank Weymouth water plants, and approved a battery energy storage system at the Jensen and Skinner plants. It's been very busy at Met in April and May. We've had I think 3 8-hour meetings, and one of them was yesterday. They keep going on and on. But yesterday was a very interesting meeting, and one of the most important things was the MWD signed a memorandum of understanding for voluntary agreements to update and implement the Bay Delta Water Quality Control Plan and other related actions. This is a very controversial plan. Some directors believe that we should walk away from the Bay Delta and walk away from any mention of sites reservoir. The Metropolitan GM did sign the voluntary agreements, MOU, agreeing to advance the voluntary agreements MOU to the Metropolitan Board for consideration. On Monday, the Water Planning and Stewardship Committee took up the voluntary agreements update, and the majority of the 14 public comments that came in on the voluntary agreements that said Met should not participate in any discussions of the Bay Delta and walk away from the table. The majority of San Diego and Los Angeles directors also agreed. However, and to give you some background of this, there's two approaches that have emerged dealing with the Bay Delta crisis. One is what we call the regulatory approach, which has been used by most of the governors and has been in operation. And this approach is concerned with unimpaired flows and governance structure, which is the state board. And so the regulatory approach has basically dealt with the flows of coming and going in the Bay Delta. In 2015, an alternative approach was discussed, and this approach goes beyond water flows and enter around the importance of science and governance and habitat restoration. And this new approach is called the voluntary agreements. The general manager then said to the board that, he said to him yesterday, he said, do you really want to be off the table? Do you want to just take away, just leave the table, leave any policy changes? Because you're not going to have another opportunity to do this. And he said, when it comes to the state water project in the Bay Delta, we need to be advocates to make sure the door is open and everyone can come in. He said the astute move would be to sit at the table and encourage others to sit with us, such as the affected Indian tribes, the environmentalists, the Sierra Club, and others. And he wants to see a collaborative effort to water governance. And furthermore, he said, we want to be on the table and we want to be sharing data and research to make this very scientific. And he said, MWD should support a healthy Delta. So these voluntary agreements will allow non-flow measures to be considered along with flow requirements, resulting in a more robust Bay Delta plan, he believes, including options for early implementation of measures and an effort to expeditiously improve operating ecological conditions. When it came to the vote at the board meeting, the motion passed unanimously, and we are now putting great faith in our GM to bring people to the table, to have a collaborative discussions and collaborative actions. And it was very interesting when the GM spoke, it seemed to change people's minds that the Bay Delta is important and that no district, no agency should walk away from that. The final thing was very interesting last night. You never know, and you never leave a Met meeting early. For the last few minutes, some of our two directors, was very scripted, a very dramatic moment in which the Shaw Group report was brought up, and it should be brought up. But Met is working on these issues. We have a new DEI officer and a new EEOO officer. And we know that we have to look and investigate some of the conditions that were mentioned in the audit report dealing with abuses in the OWD workplace. But What went on yesterday in the last few minutes is a call for a special meeting in May to discuss this. But the interesting thing is, this was put forth by a San Diego director. They wanted the meeting to be in May, the end of May. At this time, and it all focuses on the attorney for Metropolitan Water District. And she's in litigation. She's orchestrating the case of San Diego versus MWD during this time. And we found that many directors found this very unfair to be wanting to quiz the attorney and what her role was in these investigations, ethics investigations. And they found it very unfair with a message that really criticizing the state attorney. We thought that was a very bad thing to do when she's the star in orchestrating this whole lawsuit in San Francisco. So that was very disturbing yesterday. And I don't know where that's going to end up, but you never know what's going to happen at Met. But very busy, very busy time. Thank you.
Thank you for your report. And with that, we'll go to item number 13, which is the water quality report. So just want to highlight a couple of things and make a couple of corrections. So the board did receive the budget report at our last meeting, and we're looking at to adopt it next week on May 18th. And the report says May 20th. So it's really May 18th. Secondly, the board continues to vote to have our meetings via Zoom or teleconferencing. And then just a final thing. So we had a meeting yesterday, the Administrative Finance Committee meeting on Tuesday. In the report, it says on May 100th and 20th. There's only 31 days in May, so the correction is May 10th. It was yesterday. And then today we have the Ledge Pub meeting at 11 o'clock this morning. And then next week we'll have a regular board meeting at 12 on Wednesday, May 18th. Other than that, that's all I have for the water quality. We'll go to item number 14. Water Master report. Do we have any additional reports other than what's in the packet?
Water Master will be meeting at 2:30 today, and some very important decisions to make. Important public hearings to make.
And if we could, I've asked Kelly Gardner to give us a quick update. As Tony mentioned, Director Fellow mentioned, there are some very important items on the Water Master agenda. Kelly, you want to fill us in on your board meeting this afternoon?
Sure. I think the biggest item today is going to be the establishment of the operating safe yield. As many of you recall, the April meeting, we always produce a preliminary report. The preliminary allocation for the next 5 years is 150,000 for this year, for the coming year, and then 130,000 acre feet for the following four. Obviously, it's updated every year. So we're remaining consistent. This would be the, I believe, eighth year in a row if the board chooses to adopt it at 150,000 acre feet. And then also we have the adoption of our budget. Our budget proposes no increase in the assessments at this time. We're going to stay at 17, or we're proposing to stay at $17 an acre foot for the administrative assessment. The RDA will remain at $175 per acre foot, $175 per acre foot, which is what it was last year, and the in lieu at $8 an acre foot. If the board authorizes that, we'll be sending out the notifications and preparing for the year end of production. Steve will be there, so I'm sure he'll give us a report. In terms of production numbers, at the last quarterly estimate, we had very low predictions for water usage, and it seems that with some of these late conservation pushes, we might actually hit that and be down around 180,000, 185,000 acre feet of production. depending upon, you know, how serious people take the drought declarations. And in that case, you know, we always budget on the conservative side so that we, if people do pump more, that's, you know, a financial gain to the agencies, but at least we're not putting ourselves in a negative position if we overestimate and then have the production come in low. So those are the big items. Unless there was something specific, Tom, that I might be missing, I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys have.
Thanks, Kelly. In fact, I think you tied a nice bow on the conversation earlier about what we need to do to manage within the MWD volumetric limit. And this, you know, fact that production numbers have been low is encouraging, and we just need everyone to continue to keep up the conservation. By my estimate, we do need production to get down to around 180,000 acre feet. Now, of course, we're talking about this fiscal year, we need to talk about next, the first two quarters of next fiscal year on these production numbers. And then the last thing is the Water Master Board will also consider approval of a letter of intent between Metropolitan and the San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, the independent state contractor. And that's important because that will mean all three responsible agencies at Water Master have agreed to show their intent to participate in the regional recycled water project. So that's a big deal. That's a good thing to do. Thanks,
Kelly. It's really opened the door, Tom, some of the meetings that we've had recently with MWD, where there are opportunities to use existing infrastructure that had not yet been explored. And so this has really kind of opened up another avenue of collaborative efforts to really make this a reality.
Thank you, Kelly. President Chavez, I think that covers the Water Master Report.
Okay, Tom, thank you for that, and Kelly as well. We'll go to item number 15, which is AB 1234 compliance reports. Those are available. And then we'll go to director's report, item number 16, and we'll start up with Dr. Fellow.
I just wanted to clarify something. I'm thinking about the MWD report is that what happened at the end of the meeting was two directors, San Diego being one of them, representative from San Diego, wanted to call a special meeting. You can do this, you know, at the board, you can bring up anything, but you have to get a majority vote. And after Adele's little talk, they didn't get the majority of vote. And so procedure is that when you bring up something, it usually goes on the future agenda items, and the executive committee always reviews what goes on the MWD agenda, unless you want to bypass all that, which they tried to do, but lost, interestingly, because they have the votes. But it's going to be interesting. Keep your eye on the MWD attorney. I'll be very frank with you. I know her very well, Marcia Scully. She's an outstanding attorney. She does a great job for Met. And I've been doing my own little investigations at Met to see what people think about her. And they say that she really protects the MWD and is a fine litigator. So I will be defending her in the future. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for that. We will go to Director Garcia.
I don't have any comments today, thank you.
Okay, Director Santana.
Yes, so I was able to go to the Aqua conference. Director Fellow was there, the spring conference. Tom was there, Nicole, and Director Trevino. And I was really surprised. This was, I think this is my first in-person spring Aqua conference. The water wars, some of the conversations I had, especially at the last closing meeting, we stayed a little bit longer than some of my other colleagues here. Wow. It's very real how Northern California, people I spoke with, I even just see kind of the vitriol in their eyes when they start talking about Southern California's water usage of their water. So, I was kind of shocked at, how difficult those conversations can be and how emotionally charged they are. And then I was going to bring up something under future agenda items. I told a few people, but I'm not going to because I think I was just so excited about it. I jumped the gun. I don't know how much it really applies to us, but, for the innovation award, there was the, forecast informed reservoir operations, they won that award. Sonoma Water won that award. And it was just really neat to see how they are improving their reservoirs for capture using this FIRO or FIRO. So if anybody wants to look into it, forecasted informed reservoir operations, it was just really fascinating to see how they could improve their water capture with that. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Vice President Santana, on that report. And then for myself, didn't have too much, but I've been listening to a couple of city council meetings, and when they talk about landscaping, or there was one meeting where they had the mosquito abatement, talking about plants that repel mosquitoes. Bottom line, they're always looking at drought-resistant plants, or they're talking about, you know, California native plants. So they're still thinking about water conservation. So it's nice to hear that from them as well. Other than that, no future items other than the ones that were discussed. Tom, do we have anything else that we need to take care of?
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
I was speaking of future items, and Tom, you could chime in here, is that, you know, we were talking about before that a lot of residents don't know what we're doing sometimes. And one of the things we're doing a good job in, particularly in Arcadia, and then there's another city Tom talking about, is in PFAS. And Arcadia has a new unit there. And Tom, I'm just wondering, maybe we should have an update on these, what innovative things are happening with PFAS in the San Gabriel Valley to get that message out. What do you think?
Yeah, we can certainly pull that together. What I'd like to do is I'd like to do it jointly with Watermaster, Kelly. I'm sure that's okay with you and Tony, because Watermaster does the water quality monitoring for the San Gabriel Valley, their Title 22 monitoring. And so what we can do is work with Tony Kelly and Stetson to pull some information together.
Okay, thank you.
We can do that.
Okay, and with that, Tom, anything further that we need to discuss at this meeting?
No, just quickly looking to Patty and Evelyn, see if there's anything I missed, but I believe that it concludes our business for the day.
I appreciate you. I appreciate the board, and thanks for the audience for participating and adding to a healthy discussion. With that, we will then be adjourned.